Look, I'm fully aware of how much COVID has messed with our lives this past year. Many of us, for the first time in our lives, have felt trapped, stuck, or even helpless. Now imagine that not just being a year, but a life or a generation of being stuck. That's what happens to kids caught in the cycle of poverty. They are truly stuck. But there is good news. This doesn't have to be their story.
And that's where you come in. I'm sure you didn't wake up this morning thinking, I'm going to be a hero today, but you can. For $38 a month, just about a dollar a day, you can make sure a child living in poverty gets the things they need not only to survive, but to thrive.
You provide your sponsored child food, a better education, clean water, and medical treatment. And here's what I love about partnering with Food for the Hungry. Your gift also helps other kids in the community. So you're not just helping one child, but you're also helping their friends a little as well, because FH wants to build up the entire community.
The other really important part is you get to write to your child and encourage them. This is your faith in action, and your support and the words you share with them will carry and inspire them to accomplish more than they even dreamed possible for themselves.
With everything going on, I know it's easy just to take care of ourselves and put this off till tomorrow, but kids living in poverty, tomorrow feels like an eternity. Plus, I'm telling you that sponsoring one of our Food for the Hungry kids will not only help them, but it will also change you. There is such joy in helping innocent kids who didn't ask for or do anything to deserve this. And we've been blessed with so much in our lives. It's a blessing to be able to sponsor these amazing kids.
It only takes a minute and costs you nothing to see if this is even for you. So check it out, fh.org/Wally Show. Again, that's fh.org/Wally Show. You can also follow FH on Instagram and Twitter.
Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. I've got some stuff here. I'll give you a choice. Ladies night here, Lady Rock. Do you want to go with the happy fun story second or first compared to the politically charged story? What do you think? Where do you want to start? Where are you feeling? You want to end with something like, oh, that was fun? Or do you want to start with something like, oh, that was fun?
Let's start with the fun,
okay,
and hoping that it'll go a little bit longer,
okay,
in hopes that it'll make you shorten the political.
Oh, it is not. I can promise you that.
He'll fly through the fun stuff.
Yeah, here's your fun story. There is Puma, you know, the shoe brand. Yeah,
yes.
They're doing a Rugrats-inspired apparel collection and shoes. So there you go. All right. So
no,
that was
on to
it?
Let's expand. Let's talk about how much we all loved Rugrats.
I've seen when they do different, partnerships and stuff, and like Nike will do shoes with people, and you're like, man, those are hideous shoes.
Yeah.
These actually aren't bad.
Oh, no?
No, they actually, they're like purple and yellow, so they're kind of like those colors from Rugrats, and they're not horrible looking. They look like a pretty normal pair of shoes. They didn't try to reinvent the wheel. And if you were nostalgic about that show, I could see people going, yeah, I would get those, like as an adult even.
Well, because they stay true to like a color scheme too.
Right, right.
It's more about the color scheme than if you smacked a bunch of cartoon characters on there.
Is Rugrats past your time?
I didn't watch it growing up. I think it was bigger when I was a kid, but either my parents didn't let us watch it or we just chose not to, because I've watched old episodes of it, and I think it looked terrible.
Yeah, we watched it with my daughter. We watched Rugrats a lot.
Did she like it?
Yeah, she loved it. And we watched Rugrats All Growed Up.
I've seen
when
that
they did
before.
The other incarnation of it and stuff. So yeah, I like that.
Those
I loved
cool.
cartoons with her. I wanted her to watch cartoons that I could watch, and Rugrats was one. I was like, okay, I can watch that one. I kind of like it. Rocket Power was another really good cartoon that she watched that I really liked.
Oh, was that the skaters?
Skateboard one?
Surfing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I did like that one.
There was one that was like Chicken and Cow.
I was just going to mention that one. Heff. The cow was
Heifer.
Heff. Rocco's Modern Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one.
There was Doug.
Yeah.
There was Monsters. Do you remember them?
No.
And then Hey Arnold.
Yes. We watched Hey Arnold a lot, me and Haley. Bob the Beaver King, the dad of like the
was like a beaver one. Angry Beavers.
Yeah.
And then Courage the Cowardly Dog.
I never watched that one.
I did.
Yeah. Wow. You watched a lot of the same ones that like I watched with Haley. So one of us was watching cartoons way too late or way too early. I'm not sure.
Definitely you for watching them way too late.
Yeah. I still like cartoons, you know.
It's cartoons are the best.
Yeah. My favorite growing up was Speed Racer. That was the cartoon.
Ooh.
And it wasn't like it was today where you could just watch it on demand. You've got the DVDs or you've got a streaming service and it's all there. I should see if it's on streaming somewhere. But I used to have to get up at 6 a.m. on Saturday. They ran it once a week.
6
a.m.? Yeah, and if you missed it, you were hosed. Mm-hmm. And they didn't rerun again, you know, and stuff like that. And so you had to make sure you were up. So on Saturdays, I got out of bed like a little before 6 so I could get my bowl of Captain Crunch and watch Speed Racer. That was my morning.
This says that it's available on Amazon Prime.
Oh, is it really? I have Amazon Prime. Speed Racer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hope it's not for, like, purchase, though.
It might be.
Grr.
Did you ever watch that movie that came out in, like, the mid-2000s? Maybe 2006, 2007?
Speed Racer?
Like a Speed Racer movie, live action?
No.
It was very good to me as a kid, and I think if I rewatched it today, I'd have a different opinion.
Yeah.
But the racing mechanic was great. I never watched the old show, though.
Oh, I loved the old show.
You can watch it for free on a place called Funimation.com.
Oh, okay. That's for, like, your anime lovers.
Yeah, probably so. Amazon Prime frustrates me. Prime Video frustrates me because there's a bunch of stuff. You're like, oh, I don't care. And then you, like, search something like Speed Racer. Like, yeah. Oh, this would be great.
Oh, it's on there.
It's here. That's great. And then they're like,
subscribe
rent or
to.
Buy.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
They have every option for you, but I like that when you get on Netflix.
That's it. You know it's free.
Like you don't have to question anything.
That's it for me. Like, it's like, okay, when I watch this, I know it's going to be free for me on Netflix. And so that's got me, I spend more time on Netflix than I do my Amazon Prime Video for sure.
But then again, Amazon has kind of become the online blockbuster.
It is.
Where if you think of a movie, you can rent it.
Yeah.
You know,
rent the digital version too, which is quick and easy.
Where you can't do that on Netflix.
We did a Redbox the other day. I'm like, what is this?
1990?
What's even at Redbox?
I mean, they have all the stuff they always would have, like the stuff
But nothing new.
No, it's all new stuff.
Nothing new has come out.
They do put new stuff on there, but it's just not a lot of crazy good new stuff because, like, on a normal year, you know, this would be the beginning of blockbuster season, and then you'd see those movies popping up, but we haven't had big movies hit theaters for, 2 years now.
Yeah, I watched a Denzel movie that I had not seen.
Equalizer?
No, I've seen that.
Is this that serious one?
Yes.
It's like something about fences?
No. That was slow.
That's your
painful.
That's your Grammy or what is it called? That's your Oscar movie.
Yeah, that one was painful.
Sad.
No, what was this one? It's so bad I can't remember it. It wasn't a bad movie, but it was Denzel and what did he do? Well, I just like Denzel so much I couldn't remember what he did.
You could probably
watched this last week.
You could take a stab at like what it is and probably be close, like something action related. Or
yeah, I mean, quick Google Denzel.
I know. I'm trying to. Fine.
What was it, sir?
I'm worried.
My memory is getting
What's his latest
way worse.
Movie?
I don't know, but Denzel.
I know what you guys are doing, though, too. You're, like, keeping me off of the thing I want to talk about.
We're doing a good job at it,
I know,
actually.
You're doing fine. I'm enjoying this. What was that stupid movie? I can't even picture the context of it now.
The Little Things?
Yes.
Was it The Little Things?
Yes, that's
on
it.
HBO that's, Max.
Is it really?
Yeah, we watched that a while back.
You have HBO Max.
No, I don't have it anymore. No, there was The Little Things. That's it. Yeah.
I didn't care for that one.
Yeah.
It was a little slow and very little payoff in the end.
It was very slow. You are right about that. And now that I'm remembering it, I do like Denzel, but the movie wasn't great.
Yeah. Because he's always going to be solid. But
yeah.
Yeah, I didn't care for that.
What was
one.
The Little Things about again?
Oh, my word.
It's about, it was like a serial killer. Type
That's
of
it.
Thing where they're
yes.
trying to find this guy.
Yes.
They're staking out Jared Leto's apartment.
And then you're
apartment.
Not sure about it. Yep. And yeah, it was very slow. And Jared Leto, he's weird and good in it and stuff like that. But yes, now I remember. Thank you. That's all I needed. I just needed a little jump start of the old brain there.
Oh, it had that guy from the Queen movie, Remy Malek.
Remy Malek,
He was the other younger... You know, up-and-coming police officer.
And I got it because I like Denzel, but then I also like Rami Malek. So I'm like, oh, cool. But Rami Malek is hard to see. Once you've seen him as Bohemian Rhapsody, it's hard to see him as anything else other than that.
Because he's pretty calm in this movie.
Yeah, and it was good, you know, but okay. All right, so there you go.
Let's talk a little more about who else was in
this
movie.
So what else
do we like about Denzel?
We're going to talk about Facebook right now.
I like him in that football movie. Remember the Giants?
Oh, yeah.
No?
Oh, remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans.
Super good. It's on Disney Plus.
Sunshine.
Yeah. Okay, so Facebook.
Do you remember that part?
Get this. I love that you guys hate controversy so much.
Hey. Goodbye.
So Facebook will no longer remove posts that claim COVID-19 was a man-made virus and that it had origins in a lab, okay? So you think, well, wait, why would they? They were pulling that stuff before? Yes, because Facebook was part of the gatekeeping that's going on. And I'm not, and I'm going to sound super conspiracy minded here, and I admit that, but I'm not really. But it goes to the point of what we've been talking about, like, for a while now, that, you know, people that control the information that you see, then that's where you lead into conspiracy. So Facebook, like, I had friends of mine that were posting things, real life experiences that they had with a friend who got the vaccine or got the virus or whatever, and they would just talk about it and share it, and they're like getting flagged. This is misinformation. This is misinformation. It's like, no, you don't know my situation. How do you label this as misinformation? So that's what they were doing. So that anyone that had posted anything about this virus being man-made or in a lab and not, or its origin not coming from a bat that was eaten in a market in Wuhan, was getting flagged. Like, you're bad. You're bad. You're bad. You're spreading misinformation. You cannot be trusted. Well, now they have stopped doing that. Why would they just stop doing that? Because now there is an investigation into all of these claims, and it's starting to look more and more plausible, which it's always looked plausible to me, that the virus did not originate, like, from a bat in a market, as they're saying, that it was in a lab, okay? And so Biden is looking into it now, and so they're taking these things really seriously. You know, what you're saying is that, like, conspiracy theories, like people who were censored and called conspiracy theorists, might have actually had truth behind their allegations. So what else have you gotten wrong, you know, government? What else have you not told people? You know, what else has Facebook just fallen in line with the government and vilified people with experiences that didn't match the agenda? You know, like, so that's what's been happening. This is the thing. I've been saying this from the beginning. It's like, you have to be careful. Anytime people start to squelch speech, there's a reason for it. And sometimes it's not the best motives, you know, and sometimes it is to keep things quiet. And you have all these people that just lockstep with that. So the claim that COVID-19 was man-made has circled for a while. And now they're looking into it. And they're saying that while the claim that it wasn't the virus wasn't man-made, it's not the same thing as saying it didn't come from a lab. Like, there can be a virus that exists that they're studying. And so here's the other part of this that gets fascinating to me, okay, is that Dr. Fauci, the guy who's on the forefront of this stuff, in a Newsweek article that they did, he has a connection to the Wuhan lab. He was working under Obama administration on this thing. I forget what it's called. Oh, what is it called? I got to look it up. But basically, it is studying these viruses so that you, it's called gain of function research. So you're studying these viruses so that you can mutate them and see how they affect people. Now, for the non-conspiracy theorist, you look at this from the positive side and you go, okay, this is how we can learn about viruses and prevent the spread of them. From the conspiracy theorist side, this is how you weaponize them, because you know how to control them and then release them. And so there was a theory early on that this was born in a lab and it was accidentally released. It got out, you know, and so not that they were trying to, you know, be nefarious, but all of their experimenting somehow got out of control, because there were like three lab people now that came, that actually went to the hospital in Wuhan before all of this happened, way back before like December, with these symptoms. And so then they're saying this is where it started the spread, or even earlier than the time that they had admitted to. Because again, China is like very sketchy when it comes to details with things. They're not really forthright. And so this is where they're looking at this. But so Newsweek and all these other news agencies now are actually tying Dr. Fauci and him shipping research over to Wuhan, and the research they were doing was on bat coronavirus, you know, and so the story of it being from a bat in a marketplace gets really weird, because they have to, oh, we've got to tie it to a bat somehow, because people are going to find out that we're doing bat coronavirus research, you know, and it just, it gets real smoking gun. And so now to see people backtrack off of this. The lesson in this, though, is question everything. Mm-hmm. You know, don't ever take anything at face value. Don't take anything I say at face value. Dig deeper. If it sounds like, oh, that doesn't sound right, go and look, research, and don't just take one source, you know, at it. Because, like, I saw a couple really right-wing things for this, and I'm like, okay, I want to look beyond that because everybody's got an agenda. So then I start reading Newsweek, and I start reading other independent periodicals that are not as agenda-based or as biased as some of the other ones, you know, and stuff that are more mainstream down the middle. But, and I'm not a major conspiracy theorist, but when you see so many agencies aligning to get the story straight and to then restrict free speech, that reeks of a cover-up. And that's what you have to be careful of. So again, the lesson in all of this stuff, whether it's a conspiracy or not a conspiracy, whether you believe that or not, it's like, just do some research, man, and just don't take what anybody tells you at face value, because people will lie and they will cover stuff up. You know, all, like, that's what the government does. I don't even get mad about it. I don't even get shocked by it, because that's what happens. It's happened since the beginning of our country. You know, like, there's certain things they don't want people to know, and they cover stuff up, you know? And so, like, I don't even get shocked by it anymore. But then when it comes to light, I get mad at the people who just buy in and then are like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, it's because you just, and you are so passionate that this was wrong or whatever, or you're so passionate. But then when you get all the information and you weren't willing to listen to a counter viewpoint, that frustrates me. Like, because I'll have the conversation with anybody. You know, tell me why you think I'm crazy that I felt that this was in a lab. Like, tell me why, you know? And tell me why you felt it was really somebody eating bat soup that made this happen. Is that more plausible than what Newsweek is reporting now? I don't think so. So, anyway, that was that. So, not like really crazy rant there, but just information.
Well, and also, just all that to say, they're looking into it. Yeah. Does it mean that it definitely did happen?
Oh,
that
it happened.
Way.
Yeah. Everything I just said is 100% fact.
And as Wally pointed out earlier, don't always have to listen to him.
Yeah. No, you don't have to, but just do some research.
So they're looking into it.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. I think because they have to. Now they have. Here's what happens. Enough information starts to creak through the crevices and get out and starts to get into like regular media sources. And then they're forced to go, well, we're looking into it. They knew the whole time. They've always known. In my opinion, they've always known. And so now it's like, well, we're looking into it. It's not. We'll see.
I wonder like what we would what the world actually would do with information about the origin. Like, if they actually knew how it started, I wonder. And I guess it depends on, like, you know, if they find out what caused it, they'll be able to come up with a, you know, a plan for.
If the origin was, and this is the if, like, this is a very good question. Yeah. If the origin was, hey, the Chinese in a lab were messing with mutated viruses, and there's a possibility of weaponizing them, and we had some connection to that. If that's the origin story, that is problematic. Like, mm-hmm. that is going to cause all kind of different groups to protest and call for sanctions and blah, 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 blah. If the story is, hey, we are looking at how we can prevent SARS viruses and coronaviruses in the future, and this is the way we do it, and it happened in Wuhan, and it got out, like, people can handle that. Mm-hmm. Like, people can handle that truth. Like, I don't think with any, like, major, big, giant pushback, I think people could have handled that. But the way things come out and the amount of information that's disseminated, like, you know, you look at Trump, like, again, like, I don't blame the government for certain things. I don't blame the government for withholding certain information from the public. It's kind of like when you have kids and you're raising kids, you don't tell them everything they need to know about life right away because they can't handle it yet. They're too young, you know? And I think it's the same way with giving out information. Unfortunately, they can't just go, here's everything. So that's why they cover up things or keep things, because they don't want panics, you know, because unfortunately we panic. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. If
we've
didn't
seen
panic,
that through the gas shortage,
the toilet paper.
Yeah,
masks.
We are an instant reaction society.
Absolutely.
And I think that, like, my generation will probably be like the forefront of being that problematic, because we're all about the quick stuff. TikTok is short and all of these things. And we just want to, I think we're lazy in developing opinions too, because I think we'll see it. We're like, I'm going to identify with what that person just said and run with it.
I was surprised to hear that Australia is going back into like a fourth lockdown. Like they've been really restrictive, and they have like New Zealand really restrictive, and they kind of got it knocked out earlier. But Australia is going through another round, and like I'm like, okay, is it? Why is that? Are they vaccinating? Not vaccinating? Is that going to be a correlation? So it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. Because I have to tell you, man, in our world, outside of like the 10 states that are really restrictive now, it feels like, and even they're opening up. It just doesn't feel like. I went to Five Guys yesterday, okay? Love me a Five Guys burger and fries. And so my wife and I get out of the car. Our friends are vaccinated. We're not. And so they can walk in and, based on the CDC rules, not wear a mask. So my wife and I got our masks and we're walking in and we're waiting to see if the rule of the building, the company, is you got to wear a mask. And so their sign now has been changed. Says, we're wearing masks for your protection, you feel free to wear one if you choose to, kind of thing. That's so they've respectful. Already changed. And so I talked to the manager while I was waiting for my food, and he's like, yeah, we're kind of taking the temperature of other businesses around us, but we think like next week it's going to all just be like, nope, no masks at all, you know? Hmm. So interesting, man. Interesting to see where it goes. My daughter got the vaccination just so she wouldn't have to wear a mask anymore because she works at a coffee shop, and she was tired of wearing a mask every day. Yeah, so. What do you got for Lisa these, Lady Rock?
Jimmy Fallon, he did it again. Yes. With asking his viewers to tweet out college in 6 words, and these were some of the best.
Hamburger helper for dinner without hamburger. Friends for life, not seen since. Very expensive naps in a library. Math was hard.
That's really funny. It's 3 words instead of 6. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, I remember those days of being in college and having no money, like for like food. Like I would get the Lipton beef stroganoff and have it without beef. Like that, joke, like really resonated with me.
Or really just like ramen noodles. Like you're $10 for 20 packs, and then you survive.
Yeah. I never ate ramen in college. Like, I know that's a stereotype. I never ate ramen. I had the Lipton, beef stroganoff. That's what I had, like, all the time. And every once in a while, I'd be able to throw a little hamburger in there. Like, that was a treat.
I saw one time, it was a video of a kitchen that was in the, what do you call those groups at colleges? Like, the fraternity.
Frat.
And the kitchen was disgusting.
I think I've seen that video.
Like, who would want to cook in that?
That was recent,
trash
too, right?
Everywhere.
Don't keep your food there.
Ugh. It was so nasty. Yeah. So it makes sense why people would not want to cook anything or do anything. Like, just go out and eat.
Yeah. I would go and visit my daughter at her house that she was renting with 5 other girls. And I was astonished.
Oh, did they actually?
No, they're pigs.
Oh,
yeah. Astonished at the amount of dishes piled up in the sink and
ladies.
just looking at the stove, all the just food everywhere. Their trash can was always overfilling. And that was why my daughter was like, I can't handle this anymore.
That's so interesting because it's, you would think like with 5 people who can and have the ability to make a home look good and clean and just like, hey, somebody takes the trash out
and
every
girls.
Day. Somebody does it. Who you would
Wait
think
a
would
minute.
Care more.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Would you feel just as astonished if it was 5 guys?
No, it would not surprise me at all. It'd be like, yeah, that checks out. Guys are pigs.
So then why are girls expected to have a higher... you're expected to walk through their house and it's supposed to be clean and...
It's not that I have the expectation.
Statistically,
I
feel like it just is the case that girls are better than us.
Look how much cleaner you are than we are. Like, look how much... Like, you wash your hands 8 times a day.
It's more of a compliment.
You call it overkill.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I don't expect a guy's place to be sparkling clean. But, like, my wife is wired like you. She keeps everything clean, has a place, and you know, your house isn't a mess. Your house is beautiful, and you do your dishes and stuff. It's because it's, like, just who you are and how you are. And I think, I don't know if it's ingrained in you as like from your mom or if it's something more genetic. Guys can live in more filth, I think, and be okay with it. I personally, like, I couldn't, like the way she was living, I'm like,
Oh yeah, no. I'd prefer, and I think my wife might disagree that I think this way, but like, I do like to be clean.
Yeah.
I don't like to throw all my stuff around. If our house is dirty, it's because Haley... It's her fault.
Oh, really?
It's more that she just does a lot of fun, like, projects and crafts, and that stuff gets out there. It's not food and dishes and
food. No, there's never food and dishes in my house. My wife makes sure of that. Nice. And then, but she has piles of stuff that she does.
Exactly.
But I clean like the showers and stuff. Like I like no mildew stuff. I hate that. That drives me crazy. Mm. Yeah. I take the garbage out. You forget to clean the shower.
Well, no, I just was, I was thinking about how like we have to clean our dog in a shower at the apartment.
Yeah.
We're not going to have to do that at the house.
A hose?
Yeah.
Hose it down?
Just go in the backyard and clean her off. That's going to be so much nicer.
And then wait for her to run and jump in the first thing of mud. Like, that's what they'll do. It's crazy. What do you have for birthdays?
All right. So we've got one from yesterday that she accidentally got it in late. Amy. So she celebrated her birthday yesterday. She said, I know I'm late for my own birthday shout out, but if you could fit this in, that'd be great. She's turning 14 and has been a potty for about 2 years.
Nice.
So congratulations.
Happy birthday, Amy.
We're going to come back to her question.
Okay.
DJ, she said, a.k.a. Fabulous DJ, is turning 51 today. Happy birthday,
nice.
DJ.
51-year-old Fabulous DJ.
Yes. And then Tara wants to wish her fantastic husband, Mikey, a happy birthday, saying he's incredibly smart, handsome, and funny. He works two jobs so that I am able to be a stay-at-home mom to our beautiful daughter.
Oh, nice.
That's
good
awesome.
For him. Yeah, putting in the work.
So back to Amy's question, it is, what advice would you give to a homeschooler entering regular school?
Because there are a lot of stereotypes when it comes to homeschool, you know, that they're introverts or overly religious and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, or a bit awkward.
Yeah, awkward. Yeah, socially awkward. That's a good stereotype. But that doesn't have to be the case either. You know, some people just chose to, you know, not have their kids exposed to a lot of the mess in public school and things like that. So I totally get that. And I think people understand homeschooling better now after the pandemic, where it used to be this, you know, seen as this uber religious thing. I think now you go, oh, okay, I kind of get it. And there's some benefits to it as well. Advice for her, I think would be, I firmly believe in always being yourself. Like I like, because the temptation would be to look at the kids around you and go, okay, I need to fit in. What do I have to do to be like them? You know, and like, be okay in your own skin, celebrate your own difference, you know. But I would be outgoing, like going there and being that timid, you know, person that shies away. You will only further that homeschool narrative kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But if you go there and you can, if you're not extroverted, can kind of increase that in yourself, you know, then I think that will help break some of those initial stereotypes that people might have. But again, don't be somebody you're not. But because we all have different facets of our behavior. We're not all painted with one brush. And so you can magnify different elements. Even introverts have the ability to have a touch of extrovertism. And so just at times magnify that, you know, when you need to. It's not being somebody you're not. It's just magnifying elements of who you are to fit the situation to maybe help you navigate it better. What would you say, Rock?
I'm going to make mine quick because we've got 3 minutes. But I would say just fake it till you make it. If you don't feel confident, fake it. If you don't feel like you fit in, fake it. Introduce yourself to people and just hope for the best.
High school can be rough. That is true.
It is. It is.
Gavin?
Don't spend too much time and energy trying to impress people, because I think that it's just going to wear you out.
You move to a lot of different schools, and it's interesting because you could try to put on a different personality for each one that you go to and stuff, but at the end of the day, you got to be you. And here's the secret, is at the end of the day, high school doesn't matter.
Oh, goodness.
Like, you
I don't
think
talk
it
to
does.
Anybody from
no,
high school.
You think
it's just, see ya.
The biggest thing in the world, and the day after graduation, it's just done.
Yeah.
And what's really crazy is somebody could have picked on you their whole life, and then like maybe a month after graduation, I'm like, hey, man, wasn't high school great? Like, wait, what? But now no one's competing anymore. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Hopefully that'll help you out a little bit, and that's going to do it for your AfterCast. And as always, thanks for being a potty.